Good afternoon. This is Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd with you here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We love that you've tuned in or listening online at kkfi.org. And thank you so much. We're here with you every Wednesday, noon to 1 Central Standard Time. Hey, so we have a room full of terrific people, as always. We've got the lovely poet, writer, Annette Billings, Iris Applequist, Krista Siglin. And before we get that show started, before we get them at the microphones, we've got the wonderful and talented, what is your name again? Mark Manning, something
right.
Like that, right?
Yeah, last time I checked my driver's license.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, Mark Manning, he's going to talk about the Big Bang Buffet presents Black Sheep Rising, which is a benefit for 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. That's taking place next Tuesday.
Yeah, less than a week away. Oh, my God. Tuesday, April 11th, we have a band, a house band called the Sleaze Beats, who we played a little bit of in the show earlier. And that's Bill Belzer and Charlie Colburn. And Jenna Pell is a kind of a third member for this night. They're the house band for the show. And they're going to start playing an overture of music at 7:30. And then the whole show on stage with performances kicks off at 8 o'clock. And we have just a variety of wonderful people, including Lisa Cordes, Ron McGee, Nico Gray, who's with us.
Hello, Nico.
Hello.
Christy Stremmel, Kelvin Arsenia, Jen Harris, Linda Barnhouse. We mentioned Susan Cedarquist Brewington on violin and BJ McBride artist are going to be collaborating on a piece with Maria Vasquez Boyd.
I'm so excited about that.
An experimental piece that we do. Michael McCrary, Janet Henry, Ryan Wilkes. It's a group of 20 people who all happen to be black sheep.
I love that. You know, and I want to go back, and if you would just tell our listeners about the Big Bang Buffet, because this is sort of, return to that theater.
It is.
And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you, Maria. We haven't done a Big Bang Buffet show in 11 years. The last show we ever did was in 2005 for the very first year of the Fringe Festival. It was a show called The Children of Karen Carpenter. And Big Bang Buffet did shows between 1990 and 2005. We produced over 100 different shows, and the shows were always in non-traditional spaces, although we did perform shows at the Midland Theater, at the Unicorn Theater, the American Heartland Theater, a number of other places. But a number of our early shows we produced at the Club Cabaret, which is no longer in existence. It was on Main Street near 51st in Maine. And it all started at Cafe Lulu, a restaurant that was on West 39th Street that our friend Lou Jane Temple opened. And we started a show there called The Spoken Word, which was on Monday nights, which we invited writers and poets to come in and read original works or maybe part of a book that they were working on. It was curated. It wasn't an open mic. We actually had a program that we printed for every show and arranged the performers and had it all planned out ahead of time. But eventually, performance artists kind of took over that show and became the most popular parts of that show. And a lot of those folk found each other. And we realized that there was actually people that you weren't alone. I mean, many people felt that they were the only person doing what they were doing. And they found a community of other folk like themselves who were writing original material about their own lives, about women's issues, about LGBT issues, about civil rights issues. A lot of this stuff was political because at that 1990, we were kind of in the middle of the culture wars. And we're kind of back there now. We're kind of back in that place again. And we just felt the need to bring this show, bring this group back to life, bring this tribe of people back together. Last year, the Orlando shooting caused a lot of people, you know, it really hurt. It really cut deep for a lot of folks, especially folk who had been producing shows in gay bars. And a thread developed on Facebook with our friend Beth Marshall, who was a big part of Big Bang Buffet, but now lives in Orlando. And we were like, let's do a show. And from that thread on Facebook, here we have this show that's going to be done next Tuesday night.
And how many of the original members will be back? I mean, I know it kind of ebbed and flowed, you know, who was a part of that, but Nico Gray, certainly?
Yeah.
I had...
The last time Nico ever performed on stage was at a Big Bang show, 20 years ago,
oh
right?
That's correct. It was in 1997, yeah.
And you must have been 8 years old because you look gorgeous.
So there's about 21 people in the cast, and of that group, about maybe 15, 16 of them are people who've been seasoned veterans of Big Bang Buffet. We invited some new folk, Kelvin Arsenia, Ryan Wilkes, Jen Harris, and yourself, Maria, also.
I'm very happy to be
Cedarquist Brewington are all new folk who've never done a Big Bang show before. But all of you do work that is very much like what we have done in the past. Folk that don't really wait for other people to open the door or create a venue.
Right.
You're out there creating venues yourselves and opening doors for yourself and making things happen for yourself. And that's certainly the case with like Jen Harris and Ryan Wilkes, Kelvin Arsenia also.
Well, thank you for that. But also thank you for making it a fundraiser for KKFI. I mean, I love the fact that you've brought everyone back for this reunion, but it also benefits our radio station, which, you know, helps tremendously. So thank you for that.
It's like free expression for free airwaves.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
This radio station could not exist without the work of our fund drives and our listeners who support us, and our special events coordinator, Bill Sundahl, who is doing a special event every other day of the week, practically.
Yeah, it's nonstop.
And he's been
him.
Incredibly helpful to us in handling the ticketing of this event. You can go through kkfi.org/events to buy tickets, and we have different prices available to help benefit the station. We're trying to sell out the event, and we have to pay some bills because we're renting this theater to do this at the Buffalo Room. But we want to try to make as much money as we can for KKFI.
Well, and I know someone had asked the question if they could buy tickets at the door. Is
you
that
could.
Available?
You could. We have $15 general admission tickets, which will get you a seat.
Mm-hmm.
We also have reserved table seats for $25. And then we have VIP tables. We have VIP two-top tables. And we have about, I think we have four or five left of the VIP two tops, and all the VIP four tops have been sold out. So you can take your chance and come night of the show. The venue only holds 106 people.
I was going to ask
so
you.
So that's why we sort of divided up the pricing the way we did to try to maximize how much money we can raise for the fundraiser for KKFI. So, you know, I would recommend people buy their tickets ahead of time.
And also with the VIP ticket holders, you're seated first, like you said, at 6:30, closest to the stage. Receive a complimentary gift bag and champagne toast with the cast. How fun.
Right. There's special gifts involved if you're a VIP ticket holder. It isn't just the fact that you're helping to donate to this station.
Sure.
And that's a great thing to do. But you're also going to get a few thank you gifts in the meantime. And we're going to do a champagne toast. And one of our very good friends is having a birthday the next day. So we're going to be kind of celebrating her birthday also, that recognizing it that night. And also Lou Jane Temple, who started Cafe Lulu, is going to be in the audience that
terrific.
Night with Charles Ferruzza.
Yeah.
And we're going to be recognizing her because she's kind of like our art mother who helped sort of push little chickies out of the nest into the world and onto the stage. And for her, it was just natural to do that.
And Nico was one of those little chickies pushed out of the nest, right?
Yes.
You could say it like that, yes.
What was your role in the Big Bang shows?
Well, the last time that I performed in 1997, it was at the Writer's Place, and it was called
The Homesick Show.
The Homesick Show, thank you. And I had written a piece that I performed as well that night, just doing different things. So this time I've written actually two different things, and on Sunday night I'm just going to pull it out of a hat to see which one I'm going to actually do for Tuesday.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's going to be wonderful to see you on stage. You know, I know you spend a lot of time here at KKFI, you know, volunteering and producing shows and that. So thank you for your contribution.
Absolutely.
And throughout the evening at the Black Sheep Rising program, we're going to be kind of telling the story of Big Bang Buffet in little tiny snippets and also showing photographs of the past. And there is a photograph of you, Nico, marching in a parade with a big Big Bang Buffet banner, and I believe it's 1992.
Okay, I have not seen it.
So you'll see that. We have photographs that go back, you know, 20 years that we're going to be flashing. Steve Gardell of Gardell's of the Philistines also works in audio and visual work, and he's putting together video projections that we're going to be projecting on a screen on stage throughout the night.
Are you also recording this event for the evening, just, you know, maybe for yourself or for, you know, a particular, well, Lou Jane Temple?
Funny you should ask. Our good friend Bill Pryor is going to be documenting the whole evening on with two cameras, himself and a fellow cameraman by the name of Phil Hooser. Do you know him?
I heard of him. He's going to be
running camera number two. So we're going to be documenting this whole show. And then the very next day, on April 12th, we're going to be doing a whole different version of the show on Wednesday Midday Medley.
Oh,
as many of the cast members that can come back.
And you'll be back, Nico.
Yes, I will be.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Sleaze Beats will be here live in the studio as our house band on the radio also.
Beautiful. I love that. But which side is our best? For stage
all
purposes.
Sides. Both sides.
Terrific.
Both sides.
You know, I'm just very excited and, again, very honored to be a part of this. Big Bang Buffet presents Black Sheep Rising, a benefit for 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. That's taking place Tuesday, April 11th at 7:30 is the overture and begins at 8 o'clock at the Buffalo Room, 817 Westport Road. And tickets?
And you can get tickets at kkfi.org/events. If you go to kkfi.org, there's a big button that says events. Click on that, and that'll take you right to Black Sheep Rising. And then you can click to get tickets there, and it shows you a map of how the house is set up. Because it's not your typical theater. This is actually in a restaurant. There'll be servers waiting on you to take your drink order, your food order, whatever you need. If you want to eat some food that night and have dinner at the Buffalo Room during the show, we encourage that. And so you can just make yourself at home and enjoy the evening. And the tickets, like we mentioned, are $15 for general admission seats, $25 for reserved tables, and then we have VIP tables that are a little bit closer to the stage that will give you an opportunity to have a champagne toast and a gift bag and just make that little extra investment.
I love that. And at 7:30, the overture begins. But what time do the doors open?
The doors open at 6:30 for the VIP seating, at 7 o'clock, the reserved seating, and at 7:30, the general admission seating. They have to stagger the seating that way because they have three servers, and if everybody comes in at once, they can't get to all the tables to take people's order. So at the Buffalo Room, that's how they do it. They stagger the seating.
And you know, the venue is very intimate, and you're close, and
not a bad seat in the house.
Yeah, exactly.
And the general admission seating is seated in a very great place where you can actually see everything, and the whole room is going to be a stage that night because there's going to be stuff happening all over the room all night long.
So you're going to witness original works in performance arts, spoken word, theater, music, visual arts, just all sorts of things.
There's going to be live painting on stage. We have artists, we have actors, we have poets, we have performance artists, we have musicians, we have filmmakers, all contributing to this night.
Yeah. Well, this is terrific. After, 11 years hiatus?
After 11 years. Yeah. Big Bang Buffet was around before there was a Fringe Festival, before there was a Charlotte Street, before there was an Artist Inc. There were none of these things. We had to support ourselves, and we produced all of our own shows out of our own back pockets, and we always did it as a benefit. Almost all of our shows were to raise money for Good Samaritan Project, NARAL, Planned Parenthood, ACLU, the groups, the organizations that represented protection of us as minorities, as LGBT people, as women, as artists in our culture. And that hasn't really changed, actually. But our community has grown, and we've created more of a support net for all of these folks. So it's kind of fun to look back and see what it was like before Charlotte Street.
It's like, how do we do this?
Yeah, how do we
right?
do that?
Yeah. You know, I just thank you again for having this, you know, taking the opportunity to pull this reunion together and inviting new members into to the fold.
Yes.
Black Sheep Rising, benefit for 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Just one more thing before we go. Black Sheep Rising, where does that title come from?
We, you know, it's always difficult coming up with a name for a show. And In 1990, there were four performance artists who were denied their National Endowment for the Arts grants because of the subject matter. And Jesse Helms, a senator from South Carolina, called their work obscene, when really their work dealt with women's reproductive issues and LGBT rights. And that's what he deemed obscene. And these four performance artists filed a lawsuit against the government, and their case went all the way to the Supreme Court. They lost their case, but they were known as the NEA Four. And they were an inspiration to us because in our search to find other people doing what we were doing, we realized that there was a national thing happening also, and there were people on the national level doing what we were doing here in Kansas City, and we were inspired by those artists, and one of them was Karen Finley, who is probably one of the most famous of the four, and she published all of her work, and one of her books is called We Keep Our Victims Ready. It was published in 1990, and in that book was one of her pieces called The Black Sheep, and we used to perform that piece on stage at Cafe Lulu kind of as a call to our tribe, and we just felt like now is the time to do that again. We'll be performing that piece again in the show with the entire company of 21 people, and we just felt like that represented us. We are black sheep, and we are rising to the occasion of this evening and as this benefit for KKFI and in the times that we are living in with our current craziness in the political world. It's time for the black sheep to rise up and to make their voice heard again and to create venue for resistance. It's time to bring the tribe back to speak up, and you know, we need to do it.
Beautiful. I love you, my radio husband.
I love you too, my
and
radio
And I love
wife.
You, Nico.
Well, and I love you, Maria. You're and thank you very much for everything that you do for our community.
Well, bless your thank heart. You. Well, you know, I will stay tuned for you next week. You'll be back on the air with Mark Manning, right?
Yes.
And, of course, I'll see you next Tuesday. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, Tuesday night. We're doing a show together. Hey, let's do a show. We got a barn. I got some paint.
I love you.
Hey, Judy, come on.
Thank you so much again for your contributions.
Thank you.
And I'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks, Maria.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, ArtSpeak Radio. This is what you're tuned into right now from noon to one. Here at 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And in front of me, I have the lovely Annette Billings, Iris Applequist, and Krista Siglin. They're going to take the remainder of this hour to talk about their poetry, read their poetry, talk about their craft of writing. And so we have the entire rest of the program filled with words and beauty, and I want to introduce Annette Billings. Hello, my friend.
Good rainy afternoon to you.
Yeah, I love the rainy afternoons. And belated birthday to you.
Thank you. I'm 60 wonderful.
I believe that. Also, we have Iris Applequist here. Hello, Iris.
Hi, Maria.
Always a good time when you're here, so thank you so much for coming in
thanks
today.
Thanks for having me on again.
I also have Krista Siglin, who's here in the studio. Hello.
Hello.
Krista. If that is your true name. Let me tell you about Annette Billings. She is an award-winning author, actress from Topeka, Kansas, whose published books include Annette Full of Hope from 2015 and Discounts for a Daughter at 2016 and dubbed Maya of the Midwest by fans. She also has work included in poetry anthologies, a short story collection, and in numerous publications. AnnetteFullOfHope.com is your website?
It is.
Very good. All right. And then we also have, again, Iris Applequist, who is a 34-year-old native and resident of Kansas City. Her work has been discussed and published in many online journals. Most recently, Nice Feelings was reviewed by James Duncan for Hobo Camp Review Online. And two chap-length books, Blunt Trauma, Spartan 2009, and Where We Were There, Spartan 2015, and two full-length books, Briar by Spartan 2012 and Nice Feelings Spartan 2016. Applequist explores the meaning, sexuality, poverty, and relationships with an acerbic hand. And you are you can be contacted or have a Facebook page, right?
Yeah, it's it started out as the page for Nice Feelings, but now it's sort of a catch-all for literary things that I that I'm interested in.
Terrific. And then Krista Siglin, who grew up in Iowa, moved to Kansas City in 2011. She graduated with a BFA in painting and creative writing from the Kansas City Art Institute. Yay! In 2015, she has shown her visual work at the Dodge Painting Gallery, Blue Gin Gallery, Vacant Farm, Green Lady Gallery, Arts Bar, Night Bloom's Darkroom and Bookstore, H&R Block Art Space, and the Luma Westbau Museum in Zurich, Switzerland. Krista's poetry has been published in Sprung Formal, Kansas City Art Institute's compendium, Not Sorry Zine, and Retrograde Craft. Siglin released her first book of poetry, Fleeting Sacred, with Spartan Press in 2015. Her practice, paralleled in both visual and written works, is an exploration of the body and the mind's relationship to environment, trauma, time, and phantasmagoria. There. So now you know all of our wonderful writers here in front of your ears, I should say, on Art Speak Radio. So let's do some sort of round robin. Annette, you want to start us off?
I will. I'll start with what you allow lingers, that it comes to mind each day that I wake up and see what's going on in our world, our close world, and our world at large, too. And it talks about making choices about what we allow and invite into our lives. What you allow lingers. What you allow lingers. And what you invite stays put. So speak rudely to discord and all its sullen sisters. Turn a cold shoulder to bigotry in all its disguises. Ignore the doorbell when evil rings and stop violence at the door like a stranger. Usher in joy like a long-lost friend. Take its coat, its hat. Entertain peace. Chat up passion, pamper generosity, and give the guest room to justice. Sweep the porch and put out a welcome mat for goodness, and make your life poorly suited for anything except love. And when hate knocks, act as if you've moved. Choices.
That's beautiful. That is
Thank
so
you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Wow. You know, and it's so powerful and so what we need to hear.
I think sometimes we forget that we cannot answer to things that call us, that call the
we
darker
have that
side
choice.
Of us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome.
Iris.
Okay. I have a couple of directions I could go. What made me think of this poem in response to Annette's poem, it's a little different. And I'm not a huge fan of the preface generally. I just like to let it stand on its own.
Yeah.
But so last September I was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and I still have it. I haven't gotten a treatment yet. And also, I have had this lifelong battle with intense anxiety and depression. So, there's this poem. So you'd prayed for death most of your lived days, and it comes, but it wants a bigger commitment. Death finally arrives to shroud you in grace, and then it asks you to keep working. This is how it is to be alive. This is how it is to live with death, alongside death. This death begs assistance. This death wants you to change your relationship status. This death is going to take its time. This death knows how much you love anticipation when you know what's coming. This death knows your name and has seen where you sleep. This death watches you breathe. It reads your prayers, pre-whisper state. It isn't the death you wanted, and you hear your own voice saying no from somewhere in the distance.
Response?
Rich and deep and powerful. I like that a lot.
Thanks, Annette.
And it feels good as a fit, as sort of a counterpoint.
They do definitely fit together in a certain
beautiful
way. Yeah.
Krista?
Oh, I have a tough job swallowing my two brilliant poems.
She did bring her tap shoes, so if all else fails.
Well, often I do remark that I wish I had some because I find myself on stair steps and I'm like, oh, opportunities. I think I'll probably read one of mine that's a little bit more quiet. And it's called Sister's Observation, and it comes from a series of observations, both fantasized and real, and it is for Rebecca and Hannah. Here we go. Sister's Observation. We were born as little girls at different times, but as birds, my sisters and I will die at the same second. My youngest sister and I felt it. We dipped our hands in a fountain, swept shadows through the water over our skin. Then we saw the birds. Floating in the corner, the three dead birds. We hadn't seen them at first in the shadows. Their lifelessness was a secret. We know now and now can't forget. Sometimes we practice our bird deaths. We perch in trees and watch tangled scenes move from before we were born into dreams that have yet to be dreamt. Sometimes we see our grandfather riding a pony as a boy, but in that elderly hospital gown. Sometimes he rides the pony backwards. Sometimes he rides with the gown exposing him the wrong way. Sometimes we see ourselves getting a scolding, crying in the silent way we always did when we cried together. Now, when we watch, we see those quiet tears fall in between our toes and see the invisible binding, a conspiring sycamore grove. At times, we even see ourselves as birds while we are birds, although we look smaller, almost seeming ill, with our heads cocked in different directions and each of our mouths ajar, as if we were pregnant with competing questions. Our practice grants little privacy. We mistake ourselves for statues as we sit so still when glances of lost virginities chatter around our heads. And the moments when we see our mother and father second-guess one of our conceptions, feathers fall from our nervous bodies, we pray for their drift downward, directing grace onto their bed.
Oh, my goodness. Beautiful. That's good.
Thank you.
That's good.
There's a reason why I asked the three of you. So this is just the beginning, folks. So I hope you stay tuned. We're going to take a real quick break, and then we're going to be back with Iris Applequist, Annette Billings, and Krista Siglin right after this.
They say nothing is certain but death and taxes. It turns out that listening to Shots in the Night is also certain to tickle your funny bone. That's death and taxes on the next Shots in the Night, Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes at a movie currently playing in the Kansas City area. And today the topic is a dramedy that is based on a popular graphic novel, and it's called Wilson.
Woody Harrelson is the main character, and Laura Dern plays his ex-wife. It's about an oddball bunch of dysfunctional people, especially Wilson. And when I saw the previews, I thought I'd really enjoy this film, but I found the character to be so obnoxious, it was hard to watch.
Right. He plays a misanthrope. I mean, he really hates humanity. And it's not until he discovers that his ex-wife, played by Laura Dern, had a child, one that he didn't know about, who is now a teenager, only then does he get some interest in life and trying to figure out what's going on.
Well, I saw it in a different way. I thought that this man, Wilson, is an oddball, but he doesn't get why people don't like him.
That's true enough.
That he's trying to have a sense of connection, but he's so
clueless.
Off-putting. Clueless and off-putting that it doesn't work. He's dysfunctional. Laura Dern is dysfunctional. their child is dysfunctional and the film is dysfunctional. However, I think the acting was great.
Yes, it's a very uneasy mix of mean-spiritedness and cloying sentiment. That mix just didn't quite gel.
Right.
I agree with you. I think the cast was terrific. However, I was disappointed because Daniel Clowes, who did the graphic novel this is based on, did Ghost World, which turned into a wonderful movie. It's one of the best adaptations of a graphic novel. Can't say so much for this one, unfortunately.
It didn't work.
I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
And I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and you're listening to ArtsBeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We are so fortunate to have Annette Billings, Iris Applequist, and Krista Siglin here in the studio. Hello, ladies.
Hi. Ooh,
hello.
So happy for you to kick off April, which is the National Poetry Month. So thank you so much for sharing your words with us. We left off at Kristen, so we're doing round robin style. So
yes.
Each of the poets are reading their work, making comments, discussing a little bit about what inspired them, or prefacing their work with anything that they feel is important for listeners. So we're going to go next to Annette Billings.
I'm going to read some from my most recent book, which is Descant for a Daughter. And a descant is an independent treble melody, usually sung or played above a basic melody. And this is actually a collection of affirmations that I began writing to my daughter. I would text them to her or email them to her because she was going through a particularly difficult time at that time. And I discovered that I had a collection of these affirmations. And I use the term descant because it talks about singing a song that's above a melody. Mm. And my hope for my daughter and all daughters and sons is that they live a life that's above the ordinary.
I love that, Annette.
Descant.
I'm going to use that word.
I do. It has great, great connotations. And
absolutely.
I'll just share a couple of them. And it came out in January of this year, which seemed to be a particularly good time for that when one of our leaders was speaking about grabbing sacred part of us as women. So this first one is, and they're not titled, they're just numbered. This is number 21. Disregard hecklers who disparage you for being too full of yourself. Who else should you be full of if not yourself? And what else should you be but full? And this is number 18. When you regard pictures of the world's great wonders and happen across your photograph there, believe your eyes and bookmark the site. And one that I remind myself of is number 15. Examine your vault labeled unforgivable mistakes. Recognize it is most notable for its emptiness. And I wrote it and gathered them as a way of reminding us all of how unique and precious we are and how we each deserve to be respected and allowed to sing, write, dance to our own unique songs.
And you know, and I wonder if, well, and I have a little bit of information because you have been, you're a retired nurse.
Yes, yes.
So you've seen perhaps some of the life and death and all that surround that profession. Does any of that work, or your experiences, any of that sort of play into the work that
you... The work that I do? I believe so. Yeah. Because as a nurse, you see people often in their most vulnerable state. Mm-hmm. And as healthcare providers, you're not only just caring for that patient, you're caring for their family also. Mm-hmm. And so you see, I've worked everywhere from labor delivery to oncology, where we mm-hmm. saw a good deal of people leaving this mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. And with all of those different types of nursing, there was always something unique about how people live their lives, value their lives, and what's really important. What's really important.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Iris, what you got? Bring it, girl.
Well, here I come. Get ready, you guys.
And it's the previous poem she said was sort of in response to the state of things. So I really enjoyed your affirmations, by the way.
Thank
really,
you.
Really nice.
Thank you.
This is called Bastille. I wrote it around Bastille Day. I know that. I don't remember when in particular. Let them eat rubber bullets and yellow cake. The sun will come out tomorrow, bet your bottom dollar, and that 5 gallons of gas will last a whole week. A holy war is a just war, is a shadow war, making the world safe for democracy. The waistline cutting into the gut a bit, rivulet of sweat and choreographed too long ago to sight. The public domain is pitching us forward. We are lunging toward a new paradigm, dark in its stricture. Its scripture is a living document, growing with, no, feeding on, no, nourished by our unceasing pain. Playing the game will never change a damn thing. The grief theater now an accessory to the white guilt. He among you without sin may cast the first stone. Rome wasn't built in a day. The clock is ticking. Sorry, we're closed. Thanks, we're open. Coping is hard and activates a primordial need that no one can name. Everyone suffers it, and we are pitted against ourselves, each other, the division so stark in its presentation, its effect perfect against the void. You don't know what you don't know, and you can't know what you didn't know until you knew it. Trying fictions calculate their fall, and we give our children warnings instead of hope.
Wow. You know, I love having the three of you here for National Poetry Month. April is National Poetry Month. And I love having, you know, the women's voices so clear and so strong here on the mics on ArtSpeak Radio. So thank you for sharing your work with us.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, you bet. Mm-hmm. Krista.
I agree that hard times affect the way you feel and think and create. And some of my work starts from a dark place, and then I figure the poem is sort of a passage into somewhere else, and hopefully by the end you either go lower or elevate. Mm. Like, it's, I always think for sort of transfiguring oneself, or like going through a passage, it's the poem's a very good vehicle. And in response to Annette and Iris, here is In and Out of Sight.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you just to move a little bit closer to the mic. There you go. Yay.
Oh,
all right. Very good.
It was once said to me, even now, it is yesterday somewhere. I said then, love me into tomorrow, I'm impossible. I thought it all. God save the heavy-hearted crying into beer cans, tin sweat smelling, even in the daylight, which I move in, then out of, leading myself out of pitiful smells. I'm only blood being myself, blood moving in a bag held upright, tight by air, a feeling of fortuneless, bright days, looking out with never-ending sight. I sometimes see a man move his knees through deepness, wading the grove against yellow light. And if I turn my eyes against it, then there's night again. And the black cat with eyes also yellow, yellowing into me, so old. And I know, I was never not born, never have I not seen it.
Beautiful. You know, we're going to take another real quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to be right back with Annette Billings, Iris Applequist, and Krista Siglin. And we're going to find out more information about your websites and your books and all that. But for now, we're just going to listen to this. Welcome back to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday. Say it with me, noon to one, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We have talented writers, performers, authors, Annette Billings, Iris Applequist, Krista Siglin here in the studio. Welcome back, my friends.
Welcome.
Hi.
It's good to be here.
Very good. Well, and I know you all have published works or, you know, chapbooks and that, but let's start with Annette Billings, because I know you've got a few under your belt. So let's talk about your
books.
And website and all that contact information that our listeners may want to know about you.
I have two books currently out, and the first one is a collection of mostly poetry. There is a little bit of prose in it, and it's entitled A Net Full of Hope. And the title is either very clever or kind of weirdy, because my middle name is Hope, so I'm literally a net hope. My website is anettefullofhope.com, and I do have a Facebook author page, which is Facebook/AnnetteFullofHope.
Yeah.
So those are two good ways to reach me and to find out what's going on in my writing world.
Yeah. And the other part to that is, do you have some upcoming events, readings, book signings, or
yes,
will you be
this
speaking?
Friday at First Friday Art Walk in Topeka? I'll be in Noto, which is an arts district in North Topeka, and I'll be at a wonderful shop run by four women. That's called Four Girls Garage, and I'll be signing copies of both of my books. My latest book, Descants for a Daughter, that we talked about a little bit ago. I'll have both books available.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. I love putting positivity out in the world. I think art will save us. Really. So I'm glad to be a part of that.
You're going to make me cry. But, you know, because we really need that. I mean, there's such... I know, I shouldn't speak for myself. I really need that. You know, it's so easy to get, you know, mixed in with that snow junk of hatred and, you know, despair and hopelessness and all that. When you turn on the television or you talk to someone or even on Facebook, it's like, my Lord, we need some good stuff.
Yes.
Bad stuff, okay, but let's do it in increments. But you've got another piece that you're going to read for us.
Yes. I can't help but think about Syrian children. So this is one that I wrote last night. And, of course, you know, they say, we'll warn you that this footage may not be appropriate for adults. And as a person, mother, grandmother, I want to see what's happening with the children. And the children of Syria have been very much on my mind. And sometimes things are so hard for me to write about that I chose to write this as haiku, because it's a structured form. Because at some point you feel like you could write and not ever stop. Just like you can sometimes feel like you could weep and not ever stop. So this is a haiku. April skies weep rain to save poets from using tears in lieu of ink. I'll read that again. April skies weep rain to save poets from using tears in lieu of ink. And today, that might be the only thing I can do directly for Syrian children today. You know, as I figure out how to do more and how to help more, I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you just wrote that this morning?
Last night.
Yes. Last night, so it's not copyrighted, so that if I wanted to write it down and use it as my own, I could.
You
do
could.
That.
nothing that comes from me started with me, so I'm happy to share.
I love you, Annette. We've got Iris next. Iris Applequist.
Krista knows a lot more about the reading series and the people involved with setting it up than I do, but she and I and a woman named Leslie Willer and a woman named Steph French, who's been on the program with us before. We're going to be reading at the Kansas City Art Institute, and Crystal will have more information about that on the 22nd of April.
And are you going to be a part of this poetry throwdown that's coming up?
Nope.
Oh, great.
Okay. Thank you for asking. No, I just... you know, I'm in school full time, and I'm a single mom, and I am putting a lot of energy into my writing for school, and a lot of energy into my studies, and other things, other reasons too.
Well, you're, you know, just like so many other women, you're juggling a lot.
Yes,
lot.
Yes,
and for some reason, we can do it. You can do it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Every day I have to remind myself how awesome I am.
Yes, yes.
It's true. And that's, you know, yeah, absolutely. You also had some work just recently published with the Pop series, Pop Poetry?
Pop Poetry, mine came out in 2015.
Okay.
But this one came out in 2016, and it's a full length. The Pop series are chapbooks. This is a full length one. I do have a poem out of it.
Yeah, please.
And I'm I'm hyper aware of how my voice is, of how and just my writing voice, and the tropes I pick on, and the sort of language I use, and how I can be characterized as being sort of a bummer. And right now in this room with Annette, I'm hyper aware of the contrast, and I don't want to I do want to exploit that contrast. So I'm going to read this poem being a single mom. If I stumble a bit, it's because it's chock full of swear words. So I'm going to not say them.
Yay.
So I'm going to not say them and read the poem. Let's see how it goes.
I got my finger on the edit button.
You're beautiful. Can't not. My ex-husband hasn't paid child support in almost 3 years. And the other week he threatened to have me charged with kidnapping because he disappeared several months ago and I didn't try to call him to enforce his visitation, which is a right afforded him in our divorce decree custody arrangement. It seems like the reason he, in particular, should be granted anything in particular is purely bureaucratic in nature. This isn't a thing I get to tell people. Its telling is a punchline, a caricature of what it's like to be placed between an evil so exactly banal and the quicksand surface of surviving what was my dream. Everything just seems funny. Queer, funny, strange. My daughter is learning global languages away from me. Grief, Chinese, gender, currency, belief, truth, deceit. My daughter is building up an immunity to her dreams. She is learning how to be. My ex-husband is capable of inflicting terror best on the people who give him their love. She told me she doesn't ever want a husband so that she doesn't have to get hit in the face. My daughter is 5 years old. What the heck, you know? Her struggle to imagine the difference between what is a Wednesday and when is a lunch, or what is Christmas and when is her birthday, comes with a death grip love so strong and so bright. It is the same as a daily, a lifelong heartbreak. Her love is blind, like water, holy. Her love is my blood. My ex-husband is a caricature of a punchline to an old setup. My place as the butt, strict and enforced. My daughter, the laughter. I'm a kidnapper. He's a victim. She's the van.
Mm. Wow. You know, I love, again, that the balance, you know, you bring the counterbalance back and forth between your work and of course, Krista's. I do love work that makes you feel good and make you happy, but I also like that, the work that makes you feel like you're watching an opera.
Yeah.
And it just punches you in the stomach. It makes you know, respond, react. So thank you for that.
Thanks. Yeah. Krista's work just punches you right in the face.
What?
Like in the brain. Mm-hmm. She's got some really painterly way of writing that.
Yes. Like some of her phrases have just
hit us. Well, you know, and before we do that, tell us a little bit about upcoming events or websites or whatever you want our listeners to gain.
Sure. Iris mentioned the Common Sense Reading Series put on by Jordan Stempelman. And also, you should just look out for it every month because he always brings in wonderful poets. This time, there are four of us. I believe it's actually taking place in the Crossroads at a gallery that's run, I think, through KCAI. So make sure to watch for that. It'll be Saturday, April 22nd at 7 p.m. And there's a Facebook event, so if you just type in Common Sense Reading Series, you should be able to find it. Also, this Friday, I'm part of a group show at the Vulpes Bastille, and it's the opening, and I believe it'll be open from 5 until people get tired, I don't know. it's called Wounded Nature, and there's a set of really great artists. And then, yeah, as far as contacting me, I don't do Facebook myself because I feel very immature. But you can find me on Instagram, and my legit one is Krista Siglin, like Instagram/Krista Siglin.
Terrific.
And then also email. I love emails. KristaSiglin@gmail.com.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, and this poem, I think about women in history, and I've been expanding my understanding of it and also trying to look at particular characters in history from a different angle, and I've been reading this really great book about women in surrealism and sort of rehashing my understanding of what the surrealism movement was, and I wrote this poem long before I read that, but it just seemed really related, and right now I just feel love for women every day due to political turbulence and grotesqueness. So, all legs. I leaned over and saw 1,000 baby spiders in tow on the back of a large mama spider. What does a mother do in the face of a camera with so many eyes? When I decide to perform myself, I am a bird unwittingly picking up shards of glass with my beak. I taste light refracting. I taste the history of photography, women posed, passing through light, and quotation marks.
Beautiful. Wow.
See, without your remarks before that, I would not have put any of that together. But it still it stands up. It's really good.
It's very good. So, you know, we're winding down. We've only got a few minutes left. So, I want to thank you all for truly the beauty of your words today, and invite you back anytime. Keep us posted of upcoming events, new books, book signings, all of that. Would you please?
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, and y'all together are just terrific.
I like it. I like it.
Really,
yeah.
Pretty weird, you guys.
Let's see more.
I mean that in a good way.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, have you ever read together? I know you two have.
Yeah,
and
we've done
that.
I just
met Annette today.
Yes, yeah. Wow. I would like to do more with the two of you.
You know, the poetry community is very strong in Topeka, so I could absolutely see a lot of, you know.
Do you live
in
Topeka?
I do.
Oh,
I do.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right, all right.
I could see a lot of sort of partnerships happening.
I like that.
So, yeah.
That would be wonderful.
Well, thank you all so, so very much for coming in today.
Thanks
so.
For having us, Maria.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You bet. I also want to thank my guests, Mark Manning, Nico Gray, for coming in and talking about Black Sheep Rising. That's next Tuesday, April 11th. Yeah, KKFI.org for more information. Next week on the show, Waskar Medina, Paul Richardson with the Kansas City Storytellers will be on, and possibly the World Wormwood Collective. So you'll stay tuned for that, I'm sure. Join us next week. Also stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz in the Afternoon. We love our jazz, Jeff. We love Jeff. Thank you so much for listening, and you can find us on Facebook. You can download our podcast at kkfi.org and iTunes. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Honey, I'm coming home.